This is a special edition of Mondays with Mike. Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, usually joins us on the first Monday of the month, but he's off celebrating with family his son's graduation from college, so he has today off. We will be joined by a different Mike this hour, Mike Arnold, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's second in command. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, May 7th. Mike Arnold joined us at Wisconsin Public Radio as Associate Director and Director of Content at Wisconsin Public Radio about a month ago. So he's not here to talk about the history of Wisconsin Public Radio programming, but we'll talk more about its future. And he wants to hear your feedback this hour. What is it that you like about Wisconsin Public Radio programming? What kinds of programming do you think you're missing on Wisconsin Public Radio? What would make Wisconsin Public Radio even more valuable to you? Let us know your questions and your comments at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike Arnold was most recently the Senior Director of Content Development and Strategy for Public Radio International. He was past chair of the Public Radio Program Directors Association, and he worked at several public radio stations in the system around the country, including New Hampshire and WUNC in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. We are very happy that he is now with us here at Wisconsin Public Radio as our Associate Director. Program director, if you will, our second in command, Mike Arnold, Mike number two. Good morning.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
We have a lot of Mikes. We have Mike Crane, Mike Arnold, Michael Leland, and Mike Simonson, who is a reporter in Superior. Have I missed any Mikes? I think that's it.
Michael Feldman, we have him.
Oh my God, yeah. I have missed Michael Feldman. We have five Mikes and something else.
I'm sure there are other ones too.
It must have been a very, very popular name 50 years ago or so.
Yeah,
I don't mean to age you. I'm not quite sure.
No, it's about right. And it's an honor to be on your show this morning because you won an award over the weekend. You didn't even think you'd win it.
I am very humbled and proud, and I'm blushing. Yes, I didn't even go to the awards ceremony, but you were there. Tell us what I won.
Yeah, you won the best news and talk morning show. Major market from the Wisconsin Broadcasting Association. It was pretty exciting. We had a mic go up and accept it on your behalf. Michael Leland went up and accepted it. So it was really great. So congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's a real honor, and it's of course a team effort here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You can get the hook out soon, but I do want to thank producers, Rob Ferret and Bill Martins and Amanda Magnus. Last year, we also had Chris Molina doing production work, and Cynthia Schuster, our talk producer boss, works on the program too. So kudos to everybody. And thank you very much. And you know what? Our guests and our listeners have a whole lot to do with the quality of this program, too. It wouldn't be the same without our listener participation, because that's what I think that makes Wisconsin Public Radio special, is that we do these call-in shows. And we do them in the early morning, which isn't the case around the system. You know that is not very common that that stations have a call-in talk show starting at 6 in the morning.
No kidding. No, I that's one of the things that really attracted me to Wisconsin Public Radio. And I do think it's something that will continue to be a really important part of the future. Speaking of the future of Wisconsin Public Radio, I mean, we're really lucky to have the Ideas Network, and to have a chance for people to talk about issues and to bring people in and talk about a range of issues. And it really is pretty spot. You can't find that I don't think there is anywhere. Maybe a small station in northern Indiana. That's about it. I don't think there's any other public radio station that does that.
Is there really a station in northern Indiana that does that?
There is one. Yeah, I think it's in Merrillville or somewhere like that. But they just got started.
Yeah, so. And more and more public radio stations are doing their own talk show, news talk show. Some of them do call-ins.
Yeah.
But usually not as much as we do here on the Ideas Network.
No. I mean, I used to work at stations where we felt like we were really doing a lot of local programming, and I think the most we did was 2 hours a day. So that just puts things in a different context. And that's kind of normal for public radio stations. A lot of a lot of them have a lot of national programs. And one of the things that's great here at Wisconsin Public Radio, not just on the Ideas Network, but I think also on the NPR and Classics Network, Classical Network, is that we have a lot of things that are created here in Wisconsin. It's part of the tradition. So that's quite a great thing.
And you see that as being a big part of the future of public radio is more locally or station-produced content.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that the Ideas Network is actually a good example of how that really is valuable. I mean, I think we're way ahead of public radio stations across the country with this particular channel here at Wisconsin Public Radio, but I think that it's going to be really important for us to remain relevant locally and to do stories about things that are going on locally. I think it's one of the key components of the service that public radio provides. So we're well positioned for that here at Wisconsin Public Radio, so that's great.
Yeah, and I speaking of local content, I should also mention that not only did the Joy Cardine Show pick up an award for Best News Talk Show, our news department also picked up like 8 other awards for their excellent coverage of the news of Wisconsin.
Yeah, it was quite a nice sweep. And it's great to get awards like that from your peers, you know. They don't have to give awards. And they actually judged it in I think Michigan judged these this time. So people, our colleagues in Michigan, listened to them. So there wasn't any home court advantage for any person. So the fact that so many awards were given to Wisconsin Public Radio is a testament to the great work that's done here. So another reason why I'm excited to be working here.
Yeah. Well, I know that we will share a little bit of news here, too, in terms of news coverage and political coverage is going to be covered with gusto over the next 5 weeks, 4 weeks. We have the primary election for the recalls tomorrow. There will be a special tomorrow night starting at 8 o'clock with Sean Johnson, our state government reporter, teaming up with Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg for our primary night coverage. And then I know that we're going to be doing candidate forums as well coming up.
Yeah, we do. We have you'll be doing some. Ben Behrens will be involved in some of them with candidates for governor, lieutenant governor, and state senate. Another thing that's interesting that's going on here along with that is we our new media team, or whatever you want to call them, our web team, has been working on improving the quality of the online presentation of a lot of things that we have. So if you go to the WPRnews.org site, you'll see a very different look, and it'll be easier for you to find things. It'll be a great source for information for tomorrow's election. And then also, we're partnering with Wisconsin Public TV on a site called WisconsinVote.org, and that has a different look, too. So if you'd like to check that out and use that as a source, along with the radio for election coverage, whether it's the primary for the recall primary tomorrow or other elections coming up, it's going to be a great source for that. I think we're pulling things together for that.
Oh, yeah. I just, in fact, I pulled Sean Johnson's report from the Friday night debate from the new WPR.org news site, and it does look different, and it was nice. That was there on... Boy, I don't know if it was. I think it was there on Friday night. It's there right away rather than, you know, waiting.
So we're a little timelier.
Yeah, so that's great. So anyway, yeah, we have the primary tomorrow and election night coverage. We'll have similar coverage on June the 5th when the general recall election is held. I will be talking with the candidates for state senate this time. Last month I talked with the candidates for governor, but I will be talking with the candidates for Senate coming up the week of May 21st. So that's, what the heck, that's 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
2 weeks from now. And Ben will be talking with the candidates for governor and lieutenant governor 2 weeks from now during the week of May the 21st. Well, if you have a question or something you would like to say to Mike Arnold, our Associate Director and Director of Content for Wisconsin Public Radio, you can call 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. joycardine.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And I think pretty soon we're going to have a nifty picture of Mike Arnold and myself and the Wisconsin Public, the Wisconsin Broadcasters Award from our studio that you can take a look at, and you can post your question there too. We have lots of callers, Mike, so let's go to Ken in Milwaukee first. Hi, Ken.
Hi, good morning. A comment and a question.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to give kudos to the Ideas Network regarding their political reporting, as in the radio market that I'm calling from. If it wasn't for the Ideas Network, I would be listening to Squawk Radio, who endorses candidates. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to have the Ideas Network throughout Wisconsin, because down here in the southeast part of the state, if it wasn't for you, it'd be quite biased reporting. The question I have, Joy, is that in going to the WPR website, if I were to look at your programming for the balance of the week, how far out can I go, if at all, even to the next day, to find out who you're going to have on your program?
Well, that's a good question, Ken. I think it depends on the producer. If they were able to get in a program note for a program that they have set ahead, a lot of our programs are not set well in advance. They are, because a lot of our programming is timely and based on issues in the news, it's a lot of it is only booked a couple of days ahead of time. So if the producer was able to get at that and put in a program note immediately, you might have a couple of days notice. But most of the time you will only know the day before what's going to happen. You'd like more notice, I bet.
Well, yes. If I can be specific, the post office and the Senate, you know, a couple of weeks ago passed some legislation, and in trying to get someone as a specialist, if I could describe it that way, who you would be referring to a series of questions so the callers can talk to them, I'd like to get an idea who it is that would have been speaking. So on Ben's program, he has somebody from the Heritage Foundation, and I find that when it comes to, say, certain government issues, such as the post office, it's always someone who, shall we say, is a, using the post office as an example, a post office basher versus someone who endorses. So on your website, it says, you know, suggestions for programs and that, and I've done that for all three, yourself, Kathleen, Ben, and I've yet to see someone, for instance, on that topic, shall we say, talk on a positive vein for keeping the post office in existence, so for example. But that's just to be very narrow focused in my opinion here.
Yeah, it is. No, I'm just kidding, Ken. I'm kidding, Ken. We have done other programs on the post office. It's a little different situation than the question you posted, or that you posed to us. Ben Marins sometimes doesn't know who he's talking to until that afternoon, because that's actually booked same day. So
yeah, and one of the things that I think is really great about how we're working on the website and things of that sort is that it allows us to have more of an interaction with listeners. So if you think that we should have different kinds of sources, it's a great way for you to connect with us through the website. So we're going to be working on doing that even more, because we do think that it helps to get different perspectives, so we will understand, you know, what we're doing and how we can do it better. So thanks for that call.
Yeah, thank you very much, Ken. Our next caller is Adam in Wausau. Hi, Adam.
Good morning. I recently moved back to Wausau. I'm a Wausau native, but I recently moved back from Detroit, where I started listening to public radio. And there was just a couple of programs I wanted to suggest. First is the Diane Rame Show. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
I am, yeah.
She really changed a lot of my perspectives on politics, because she's probably the best interviewer I've ever heard. No disrespect to anyone on WPR.
No, none taken. And other than that, what's the other program?
Bob Edwards Weekend.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's got so much experience, having been on NPR for like 30 years or something like that, but I just really like to hear his perspectives on stuff on the weekend.
Well, two big national stars, Adam, and we've certainly, Mike, heard the suggestion about Diane Rehm in the past. And the answer that Mike Crane and others have given is that that program's on from 9 in the morning until 11 in the morning. That's when it's live, coming from Washington. And we have a very popular program on Kathleen Dunn at that time. So
we do indeed. And I do think that that's one of the things that, you know, if we have any tendency to lean in one direction here at Wisconsin Public Radio, it's in the direction of locally generated programs. So that makes it really difficult for a program like the Diane Rehm Show, because we have our own shows here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I think we try to do with our locally produced programs is provide that depth and intelligence that you would expect from say a Diane Rehm Show. And actually, Diane Rehm Show started as a local program, very much like a lot of the programs we have on Wisconsin Public Radio. So I do think although we may miss that particular talent, I think we cover things in terms of the quality of the content and everything. And Bob Edwards Weekend will definitely keep that in mind. I worked with Bob Edwards when I was at Public Radio International. We were the distributor for him. So I'm very aware of that program. So thanks for that suggestion.
Adam, thanks so much for the call. If you have a question or a comment or some feedback for Mike Arnold, who is our new associate director here at Wisconsin Public Radio, he is also the director of content. You know, Mike, I would say most people would consider that program director. Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's pretty much
all right.
It. Yeah.
So it's a fancy title for for second in charge and program director. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up later today, Gene Purcell in for Ben Marins today. And after 4, Gene and his guest will look ahead to tomorrow's primary elections and discuss the latest news in all 6 of the recall races. That's coming up this afternoon after 4 o'clock. And a reminder that tomorrow night, starting at 8 o'clock, primary election results here on the Ideas Network. This is Mondays with Mike, the first Monday of each month. We usually hear from Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, Mike Crane is off today, so we are very happy to have with us a different Mike. Mike Arnold, Wisconsin Public Radio's associate director and director of content. He would like to hear about what you think about Wisconsin Public Radio programming. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So, Mike, we also have a program change that has occurred just in the past month or so after Gene Faraca retired. And Here on Earth is no longer. Ben Marins was moved to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The 5 until 6 o'clock hour was replaced with Q from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. How's that going?
It seems to be going well. I mean, we have mixed response from people, as would be expected with a new program. Anytime you have something new, there are people who are really excited, and then there are people who are not so excited. You know, we have some people who say that they would prefer to hear more local programming during that hour. As we mentioned before, Wisconsin Public Radio is very lucky to have lots of locally generated programming or statewide programming that originates here. And then there are also other people who really enjoy the show. And I have to admit, having a bit of a bias towards Q, because when I was at Public Radio International, I was responsible for bringing that show to the United States. So,
oh, I didn't know
yeah.
that. Okay,
yeah, so,
all right.
It's a little difficult, although of course we'll deal with it any way we do, depending on how it works for us. But it's definitely a different program in a lot of ways, and for some people it takes a little time to get used to. But the experience in Canada has been very good. And also the experience with stations in the U.S. that have been airing it over the past year or so has been incredibly positive as well. So we're hoping that things will turn around. And if you haven't quite gotten used to it, you'll listen a little bit more and figure out that it's not a bad show.
Yeah. Well, here's John in Milwaukee with a question about Q. Hi, John.
Hi, Mike. Welcome aboard. You sound like a valuable asset to WPR there.
Well, sure is.
Thanks.
I want to talk about Q, actually. I wonder what went into the decision to take what was arguably the best talk show host we have in Wisconsin for the 5 o'clock drive home, get supper ready hour, and bump them back and put that program in. And one other thing about the program, it's not interactive. And secondly, you know, there's two things this country needed more of. That was attorneys and programs largely based on entertainment. You know, and you were, you know, you folks, I don't know if you were involved with it, but you folks were kind enough to give us the letter.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess
that attorney show, we need to stop working on that one then.
But, and you weren't, Mike, you had been hired but weren't officially, on staff when that decision was made, or you?
It sort of happened during the transition, and, you know, mm-hmm. I'm guessing that the main issue that you have with it is, well, it sounds like maybe a little bit of it is content related, but also just sort of the time of day. Is that the primary issue?
Well, yeah, the time of day, and also the fact that it doesn't seem like it's part of the WPR kind of mode of operation. It's just a program which largely centers around the same kind of a thing every day. I know it has a variety of topics, but largely, again, entertainment and more ideas and issue-oriented kinds of things seem to be on the other programs and the interactive part of it. I wonder, do you know if Ben wanted to be bumped up, to get home, earlier, or if that was a decision made by WPR?
If I might jump in from Mike Crane's past appearances talking about this issue, the thought was that there are more listeners for Ben Marin's at 3 o'clock than there are at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
That listening is actually really winding down, maybe surprisingly, after 5 in the afternoon.
No, I think that's definitely the case. I mean, even looking at the audience figures, by shifting the program to that time period, it actually allowed him to reach a larger number of potential people, which was something that I think we were interested in at the time of that. But I appreciate your comments about Q, and we'll definitely keep those in mind as we plan forward.
You know, we had as you mentioned, lots of mixed reaction, a lot of positive comments as well about Q. For instance, this one: I am 23 years old, and I have been a dedicated Wisconsin Public Radio listener since high school. I am glad that you have added the CBC program Q to the WPR lineup. It's great to hear programming that is aimed at a younger audience. Is that a part of the appeal of Q, Mike?
Well, I think it is. I mean, one of the interesting things about Q, and, you know, when I worked with it at Public Radio International, was that it seemed to have an appeal to younger people, but it also seemed to appeal to older people as well. It had this sort of crossover appeal. So I think it's sort of a great way to have a program that has a potential to bring both people, you know, all ages into the program. If you'd go to events in Canada or the U.S. events that Q has hosted, you'll be surprised to see a lot of young people, but also a lot of older people as well. It's sort of like a meeting of the, almost like a family reunion in terms of the generations that are attracted to the program. So we're hoping that's how it'll work here. We'll see what happens.
Dawn in Green Bay is with us. Hello, Dawn.
Hi, Joy. I'm on the other side of that debate. I am missing Ben Marin's at 5 o'clock when I'm driving home. And Q, there have been some shows that I've been interested in, but I do believe, I could be wrong, but it seems like a couple of weeks ago I had turned off a show because I wasn't really too interested, and then a couple of days later it was rerun. Would that have happened?
Well, unless there was some sort of odd technical glitch, I don't
possible.
Think. Yeah. I don't think it was intended.
No, that's okay. Not. That's certainly not the intent of how the program's produced.
Okay. Well, I'm on the side of missing Ben on my ride home at 5.
Yeah. So what happens, Mike, when a decision like this is made, and frankly, they're not made very often where a program, you know, there's a program change on Wisconsin Public Radio. In this case, it was prompted by the retirement of somebody. How how do you go about evaluating whether it was a good decision or not?
Well, I mean, I think it's a combination of things. You know, we take a look at, you know, feedback from listeners like what we've heard just the last few minutes. We look at audience research. We do use some research to pay attention to how things are working. And then we also just think about it from a mission and an organizational perspective, too. So it's sort of a mix of things. We typically like to give programs a little bit of time. One of the things that I do believe will happen over the next few years is we'll try things out more often. So you may hear more program changes, but the goal of that will be to try new things and try different programs, because we do hear from listeners that they like to hear different things or there are programs that they don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. So we'll try to do that more and do it in undisruptive or no. Whatever, right, least disruptive right. way as yes. possible. And so, I mean, you know, I think anything that we do, you know, we'll pay attention to how listeners are responding. And if we feel like we're not serving people well, we'll make a change. So don't feel like Q will be on for the next 20 years necessarily.
And you can also make a comment, share some feedback, ask a question about the NPR News and Classical Music Network or other programs that you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. It doesn't just have to be the talk shows that you hear on the Ideas Network, because Mike Crane oversees it all. He is our program director, essentially. He is our new associate director and director of content for Wisconsin Public Radio. Here with us during this special edition of Mondays with Mike. Melvin in Maguanago is with us. Hi, Melvin.
Hi. Well, good to talk to you. I've been listening for 50 years.
Well, it's an honor to have you calling, Melvin. What's on your mind today?
Well, first of all, I like the idea that you fit in the news and weather almost on the hour, maybe a little bit later. Between programs, it's really good. If I need to find out what's happening, and whether despite what's been on the hour before or the hour after, news and weather is there, and that is great. And
good.
And so is Chapter a Day. The fact that if I can't listen to it at 12:30, I can catch it at 11 o'clock. At night. So that is really good.
Good.
The only thing I miss is classical music. Now, I could listen to it on a computer if I had Roadrunner or some sort of thing, but I don't. I don't. But 2 years ago, I bought a HD radio. And for $30 at Radio Shack. And it was great, and I gave it to my nephew, and I haven't been able to buy another one. Radio Shack no longer carries it. Sears people don't even know what I'm talking about. They always think of HD television, but not HD radio.
All right, Melvin, what are HD radios no more, Mike?
They still make them. I know that this is a recurring theme that's discussed on this particular program, and I have to confess that I don't know how to source HD radios, but I do know that, I mean, it's possible that you might be able to get something online. It's possible that you may be able to get things around here. I don't know as much information about that as possible, but I know they still make them. And I also know that, you know, they're talking about, it becoming more ubiquitous as time goes by, but it's difficult for some people. I know that.
Yeah, so he's in southeastern Wisconsin and would like classical music, willing to get it on HD radio, where we do have an HD service
yes.
for southeastern
yeah.
Wisconsin.
And I'm sorry that I don't
no,
have
no,
that
no,
answer,
that's right. But we're not, and the reason we have one station in southeastern Wisconsin. We don't have the dual service like we do in many other parts of the state. So, Melvin, thanks for all the great feedback. Glad you like Chapter. Glad you like the news and weather. And sorry I can't give you classical music. And hopefully you'll find some more information on HD radio. You know, I think our audience services people deal with questions about HD radio all the time. And the number to reach audience services is 1-800-747-7444. So that's a toll-free number to reach audience services, and maybe someone there can give you more specific details on how to find an HD radio. 1-800-747-7444. You can also get a hold of audience services via email, listener@WPR.org. And there are all sorts of spots online to reach our audience services department as well. But I think Melvin said he didn't have a computer, so... Karen in Plymouth is with us next. Hello, Karen.
Good morning.
Morning.
I would reiterate the comments about missing Ben Maron's show at 5 o'clock when I'm driving home from work. He was good, but I do miss Ben's local interactive show. And the other comment relates to the caller earlier that was interested in the programming lineup. He can subscribe to the email, and that sends out the program for the next day, and that's very helpful.
Right. Thank you very much, Karen. Yes, we do have an email that you can subscribe to. It, though, does go out the night before a day's programming, and I think he was wondering if there would be somewhere where he could look to find things that were set up days and days in advance. But, yes, to find out what's going on our programs, there is an email that you can sign up for. I'm sure that's available online somehow. I don't know exactly... the instructions to send you to do that, but there's a daily email. There's also a program information line. You can call a telephone number, and we'll tell you what guests and topics we have for each day. Was that all you wanted to mention, Karen?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thanks very much. All right, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@WPR.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page if you have a question or comment for Mike Arnold. He is the Associate Director and Director of Content for Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 9 o'clock, Kathleen Dunn is with you. After 9, Kathleen will host All Things Political with a Wisconsin recall primary preview. Ben Marins will be previewing the recall primary as well after 4 o'clock this afternoon. Jean Purcell in for Ben Marins. And then we will have recall primary coverage 8 o'clock tomorrow night here on the Ideas Network. This is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Arnold. Instead of Mike Crane, our director Mike Crane has the day off. Mike Arnold is the Associate Director and Director of Content for Wisconsin Public Radio, here to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio programming. Larry Mueller is hitting the road later this week, Mike Arnold, to broadcast from Bayfield and Bloom.
Yeah, that sounds really great. He's going to be there. I have the date here. It's actually Friday. This Friday, he's going to be broadcasting live from there, and you can hear Garden Talk from 11 to 12:30. So that should be a lot of fun if you're in the Bayfield area. If you're not, good excuse to go up there.
It's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
Larry's very lucky. Yeah. He's been doing this now. I think this is his 10th year going up to a gorgeous part of the state, doing Bayfield in Bloom. So that sounds really good.
Mm-hmm.
And anything else special coming up in terms of programming, Mike?
Another thing you may have noticed, we just started airing Radio Lab, which is a very popular radio show from National Public Radio and WNYC in New York. And that is in the Saturday special slot at afternoons at 3 o'clock. So if you're a fan of Radio Lab, it's back for 13 weeks. So tune in for that.
And by the way, if you were wondering how you can sign up for that email for our program notes that is sent out each evening, my producer-director, Rob Ferret, is posting that on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and on our website at WPR.org/joy. So you can sign up for that email if you don't already get it. Our next caller is June in Shawano. Hi, June.
Hi, Joy. Hi, Mike, number 7.
No, Mike, oh. Yes, that's right. Good one, June.
It's something like that, yeah.
I'm concerned about As It Happens, which I think is one of the best programs on the air. And with the elections tomorrow night, for example, that will not be on. And in the old days, I'm sure Joy remembers, the As It Happens would be repeated at 5 in the morning instead of having BBC until 6. Now, I listen to both, but I can miss an hour of BBC because they repeat a lot. And I miss hearing As It Happens, and I don't need to catch my news right away about the election.
All right. Well, June, thanks for that feedback. Any chance that As It Happens... I'm certainly we're going to have the election results show
right.
when they occur. But is there any reason why we wouldn't want to put As It Happens at 5 o'clock in the morning, Mike?
Well, I think some of that has to do with the timeliness. That's another program I worked with when I was at Public Radio International, and one of the things that they were concerned about in Toronto even was stations airing it outside of the broadcast window, and I think at 5 o'clock. That's considered outside of the CBC's broadcast window because they're concerned about some of the interviews being a little dated. So in the spirit of that and in honor of their rules that they'd like to set for the program, we try to keep it on in the evening. I think that's part of the reason why we don't air that at 5 o'clock anymore. There's some stations that do it, but it's pretty unusual to do it. And yeah. In most cases, they don't recommend it.
Yeah, we did it for some time. But I think that there was a concern from my boss's point of view at that time, too, that sometimes things were outdated. And,
yeah, the joke at the CBC is that it's as it happened.
As it happened, yeah, that's
at
right.
At that point, so it's probably better to air it earlier. So I think, you know, it's unfortunate that it's preempted sometimes for live coverage of elections. But in that case, we think that it's a service that's important. So, yeah.
Our next caller is Saul in Stevens Point. Hello, Saul.
Hi, almost in Stevens Point.
Okay.
I know that On Point's second hour is always art of some sort.
Yeah.
And so there's overlap with Q, and I think perhaps that second hour, between the second hour and Q, there's room for Diane Rehm in there somewhere. I listened to her online, you know, I mean, all this stuff is available online if you really want to find it, but nonetheless, she's a very intriguing, very long-time interviewer. She's got very good guests, and so I think it fits right in with On Point's first hour. That's my suggestion.
All right. Thank you very much, Saul. Mike?
Yeah, thanks for that suggestion. We'll definitely keep it in mind. I know that, you know, On Point and Diane Rehm Show are both distributed at the same time by National Public Radio. So, yeah, we'll keep that in mind in the future.
Yeah, yeah. And I know there are a lot of fans to Diane Rehm. And I'm just going to lift the veil here a little bit more, Mike. Diane Rehm is not a free show, so, right? I mean, you have to pay.
Yeah, I think we have to.
You have to subscribe, you know, to NPR to get it for a certain amount of money. And then if you put it on in the evening... I used to call that program economics, and
right.
And if you pay a lot of money for a program that is placed in the evening where it doesn't have a lot of listeners, it might not make a lot of economic sense.
Yeah, I think that's something we definitely have to think about in terms of that, but we do appreciate the comment. We do hear from a lot of people who'd like to hear the Diane Rehm Show, so
yeah.
Thanks for letting us know.
Yeah. And I didn't mean that it didn't make a lot of sense. I think Saul knows what I mean.
Right, yeah,
so,
absolutely. Yeah.
It's a Alice,
balance we always make.
Alice in Two Harbors. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm a Wisconsinite, but yet I'm in Minnesota here looking at Bayfield. But I have been a long-time listener, and we have Wisconsin Public Radio is one of America's secret, and it is such a wonderful program. And the reason I love the show is... Most Minnesotans and Wisconsinites are agricultural-based and lovers of nature, and I just love any shows that you bring in guests that have knowledge of all these wonderful things that are local to Wisconsin and the North Shore here. And then I do miss Jean Ferraca because she made me laugh. But other than that, just keep doing what you do, because when I leave the state, I cannot find any program like Wisconsin.
I'm so glad, Alice, that you're a listener. And it sounds like Alice finds a sense of place on Wisconsin Public Radio, doesn't it?
I would say so. No, I share that feeling for Wisconsin Public Radio. It's one of the reasons I've wanted to work here for a long time, actually, and feel lucky to be on board here because of the fact that it's so special. It's funny that you mentioned Jean Faraca. I saw her over the weekend, and I think she misses you, too. So.
Oh. Yeah. I'm sure she does.
Yeah.
Even though I know she was looking forward to her a grandchild who is soon to come to the,
yes.
into this world and yeah. was looking forward to that aspect of retirement. Alice, thank you very much. Ron in Manitowoc is with us next. Hi, Ron.
Good morning. Thank you. And welcome. We'd like to note the vast improvement at the 3 o'clock and 9 p.m. Change last month as far as quality in the information on the information network. I thought Sean Johnson's program on Monday morning is just to me the most important program for Wisconsin citizens, and I'm wondering if something could be done perhaps to repeat it at 9 o'clock. In the evening.
Oh, I see. The 8 o'clock hour, this hour, will be repeated at 9 o'clock tonight with the new programming changes, the replacement of the Here on Earth repeat. So the 8 o'clock hour of this show is repeated at 9 o'clock each weeknight, in case you didn't know that. Ron does, and he wonders if the State Capitol Report, which is Mondays from 7 until 8, 7 a.m. until 8 a.m., whether that could be repeated instead. I think we have a little bit of an issue with a different clock, but I don't know, Mike. Maybe it's possible. You tell me.
I'm not sure, but but I do think that's something for us to think about. Definitely. I mean, I've enjoyed being on this hour, but I don't know if hearing this again will be is scintillating as hearing the 7 o'clock hour. So if I were making that decision myself, I probably would rebroadcast right. that hour today. But it's certainly something for us to keep in mind in the future, and we will. So thanks for that call.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what in the past we thought about, there's a newscast at 7:30 that
right.
doesn't exist
yeah.
in the evening.
I do believe that that's an issue as well.
Yeah, so, and we have weather breaks that some people like in the early morning and different things that would not be applicable at night.
Yeah,
so
weather history.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
there are, but I think it's, I think Ron's got a good point. That's the hour each week where we really concentrate on state politics, sort of a roundup of all the state political news of the past week. We try to preview the week ahead. It's not the only time we do state politics, but we make an effort each Monday from 7 to 8 to focus in. And I enjoy doing that program, too. Jim in Fort Atkinson. Hello, Jim.
Hi, Joy. I love hearing your show repeated in the evening. I only wish the whole thing could be repeated.
Well, that's nice.
I'd love to see Larry Miller repeated at 11 and push the BBC to 1 to 5 a.m. And I echo the woman who just called about As It Happens. I'd like to hear it repeated. What I wanted to warn people about, if they become addicted to As It Happens, you should be aware that if they promote a segment of the show between 8 and 8:30, you may not hear it between 8:30 and 9 because I called your 800 number one day and found out it's a two-hour show in Canada. So if it's edited for the U.S. presentation, it's edited very poorly. I'll hang up.
I know a little bit about that, and sometimes it is. But it's actually an hour and a half program in Canada, which makes it even more complicated. The last half hour sometimes is there and sometimes isn't there in Canada. So for that reason, a decision was made to make it an hour-long version in the U.S. But it's good to hear that comment because I know that's something that PRI is working on, improving the quality of the forward promotion so that they talk about things that actually will be heard. But sometimes it can be a challenge. So thanks for that comment.
Thank you, Jim. Rick in Monona is with us now. Hi, Rick.
Hi. As you'll see, people in Wisconsin love Wisconsin Public Radio. So welcome to Wisconsin, and I hope you have a great stay here.
Thanks.
The question I have is something I've never liked since they changed it, since your station changed it, and that's on Sundays. After the weekend edition, where you have 2 hours of news from NPR, you go to TT Books. And it's always been a thing for me that after 2 hours of news in the morning, I'm ready for classical music, and I'm wondering if you'd take a look at that while you're here and decide if that really is a good placement for TT Books. I really enjoy it. TT Books, it's just not at that particular time. I'm ready for some classical at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. So just a suggestion.
Okay. Well, that's something to think about. I mean, it's definitely things we think about all the time when we look at the schedule for the real challenge I think we have on the NPR and classical service is the balance between the needs of sort of news and talk likers and also the balance, the needs of the classical music listeners as well. So obviously it seems like you'd like that pushed a little bit more in the other direction. So we appreciate that comment.
Thank you, Rick. And he's a devoted listener, knows that the nickname for To the Best of Our Knowledge is TT Book. And maybe not everyone knows that. That's great. You know, forgot to ask you about the One Day Wednesday last week, Mike. How did that go?
It went very well, actually. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. It's my first pledge drive in 7 years because I worked at PRI. We didn't have pledge drives there. And it seemed to go incredibly well. Actually, I think we got 90% of our goal, which is fine, because one of the things that we've seen here over the past couple of years, I think, is we started a sustainer program. There are a lot of you who have decided to do a monthly contribution for as long as you can, and that has really changed the dynamics of things. I mean, the intent of starting the sustainer program, I think, was to get more people to pledge on a regular basis, so we didn't have to do as many pledge drives, and that seems to be working. So I think that's part of the reason why we were a little bit behind on the goal, but overall, I think we're doing just fine with membership. So we really appreciate the support from listeners, and we feel pretty excited about it right now.
I like that it's one day and done. That's for sure.
it's quick.
Next pledge drive will be sometime in the fall.
It'll be quite a while from now. So if you miss it, you can call me up and I'll do some pledging for you over the phone.
Tony in Middleton. Hi, Tony.
Hi. Just a thought for the future. Possibly pre-recording a forum where you actually have an audience. And one of your talk hosts might do that program in advance, a day or two, get it pre-recorded. That way that particular host would have that next day off, and you'd actually have an audience that you could edit in relationship to actually running the program.
All right.
That's a great idea. I know that there are a lot of times when programs will go on the road and people enjoy being in the audience for that, and it's also good programming, so we'll definitely keep that in mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, we only have a minute or so to go. Mike, as you're settling in now, what are your hopes for the future of Wisconsin Public Radio and our programming service?
I mean, I think one of the biggest hopes that I have, and I know that it's shared by other people here, is to continue to develop new programs from Wisconsin. So thinking about new things we can do that are created here. So that's something that I'm thinking about. I think in general, just making everything that we have stronger than what it is now, which is a difficult challenge because we have a really great service here. So maintaining and strengthening that is really important. I think the idea of having programming that can draw in younger audiences is a nice thing to be thinking about, and diversifying the audience of Wisconsin Public Radio, making sure that if you're from Wisconsin, you feel like you're reflected on the air. That's something that's very important to me, and I think it's something we can do even more of, although I think we do it pretty well with the Ideas Network already. Just about everybody gets a chance to be on the air. So those are the main things. I mean, for me, I'm still new, so I have a lot to learn. So if anybody has suggestions or comments or anything like that about how WPR can be stronger, feel free to give us a call and let us know, because we're open to that.
Well, it sounds good. It all sounds good. And Mike, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for being with us for Mondays with Mike.
And congratulations again on your win.
Thank you so much for the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Award. Very proud of that. The Joy Curtin Show picked that up over the weekend, in case you just joined us. You know, if you have feedback for Mike or Mike Arnold or Mike Crane, you can go to our website. There's all sorts of places there for you to contact us, wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.